Pastor Ken, would you come? I'm going to let you talk in just a minute, but before you do, as you know, Pastor Ken Briers has been the minister of music here at Bethany for the past 27 years and 11 months. And so we're going to give him an honorary month this morning, and just so he can just say, we can stop having that long sentence, 27 years and 11 months. And he announced his retirement in January of 2019. And so now, 18 months later, we're finally going to let him go. Today is Pastor Ken's last Sunday with us here at Bethany as the minister of music, and he's been incredibly gracious over the last 18 months to remain here with us. First, I asked him if he'd stay and get us through the 2019 singing Christmas tree, which he graciously agreed to do, and then when we hadn't yet identified the right person to come and be the next worship pastor here at Bethany, I asked him to remain on until we could identify someone, and then we had a worldwide pandemic, and that kind of brought the whole search process to a screeching halt. And he stayed through all of that as our focus turned elsewhere. And then finally, in June, we decided to continue that search process. And that's when we brought Pastor Camilla Grace up for a visit and prayerfully determined she'd be the next worship pastor here at Bethany. And so now finally, after all of that time that Pastor Ken has graciously stayed with us, we're going to let him go. And Shortly thereafter, after we brought Pastor Camilla Grace up for a visit, Pastor Ken made a trip to Alabama, where God miraculously provided a wonderful house for him. And so here we are this morning. And so today we're going to do two things. Under normal circumstances, we'd have had a special event and we'd have celebrated Pastor Ken in that way. And obviously circumstances are not normal. And so we're going to do a couple things this morning in service. First, we're going to say goodbye to Pastor Ken. We need to honor him. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." And another legitimate way to think about elders in the New Testament is as pastors, leaders in the church. And the word rule actually has a little bit of a double meaning. It means to lead and to care for. And Pastor Ken has done both of those things incredibly well here at Bethany for the last 28 years, and so we want to honor him during this service today. So whether it was the care that he expressed for members of the congregation through going through difficult moments, or for members of the choir as he provided pastoral care for them and the worship team, or his passion for leading to teams to build schools in Latin America, or the ministry of music here on Sunday mornings, Pastor Ken has brought joy and peace and comfort to help us fix our eyes on Jesus through music and through the way that he just walked with Jesus in his life and leadership. And so for that, we want to give him double honor this morning, as the scripture teaches us to do. And in addition to that, I also want to pick his brain a little bit, because he's been leading worship for almost 28 years at this church now. And we want to give him the opportunity to minister today out of that experience, out of his time here at Bethany. So what we're going to do this morning is, in just a moment, we're going to have a little bit of an interview with Pastor Ken and allow him to kind of share some fond memories. But more than just memories today, we want to allow him to express his heart for the Lord in the hope that it will encourage us as we move forward. Pastor Ken, I know that you've got something you want to say, so I'm going to step aside and let you take over for a minute.
Thank you, sir. Let me say one thing. I had no idea he was wearing a yellow shirt today. This was
not planned.
This coordination was not coordinated. I wrote this down because this is the way I need to say it, and I could go off on little rabbit trails if I don't. When it comes to moments like this, the words "thank you" seem so inadequate in light of all that this church has blessed the Briers family with the last 27 years and 11 months, and thank you for the extra month. Whatever accomplishments we may have done, we did together. Whatever victories we won together. Whatever sorrows we endured together. And through it all, we did it, as the Apostle Paul says, with our eyes focused on the goal, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I can assure you that we didn't stay here for this long a tenure because we were great, but rather because you were great. You were and are His church, and individually you spoke love and grace into our lives and collectively demonstrated that love to us from our first Sunday in September of 1992 until today. What we may have done to contribute to the proclamation of the gospel here in the Pioneer Valley pales in comparison to the steadfast, unwavering gift of God's grace which you, God's church, showered upon us. We have been blessed beyond measure, and I thank you on behalf of Amanda and her husband Todd, who are in service today over here, Josh and his wife Stacy, and the grands, Emmy, Mason, and Cole. And as of right now, waiting on the fourth grandchild that was due last week. It's a stubborn child, evidently. But it's a girl, and they're going to name her Ella Marie. While we all know that Marie, known by the grands as Mimi, is now otherworldly magnificent in the presence of her Lord and Savior, I know that she would have echoed the same sentiments had she been here. I step away from active ministry with a deep sense of gratitude for you allowing me the privilege of leading you into the presence of God as we worship together these years. I also step away from active ministry with a joyous heart, knowing you were led by an awesome lead pastor and Pastor Stephen, and also now led by a wonderful, gifted worship pastor and Pastor Camille Grace, whose heart for falling at the feet of Jesus in worship will, I believe, usher this wonderful church into a new dimension of worship of our Lord and Savior in spirit and in truth. As you have blessed me and my family, may you in turn be continually blessed in greater measure by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until that day when we all shall see Him face to face. Blessings to all of you.
So we're going to take a few moments this morning, and I'm just going to ask Pastor Ken some questions and allow him to answer. And we're going to share this time. Hopefully it is not only meaningful in the sense that we can reminisce about some things together, but also meaningful in the sense that the heart of ministry that God has worked in Pastor Ken over these past years will come out and will minister to you this morning. So Pastor Ken, first, will you just briefly share how God brought you to Bethany?
That's the key words, briefly, right?
Yeah.
Pastor Cope, who was the pastor here at the time, he and I grew up together in Mobile. His mom and dad were pastors of our home church. So from the time we were 9 to the time we were 16, we were best buds. I was a deacon's kid. He was a pastor's kid. It's always a pastor's kid who corrupts the deacon's kid. I just let you know that. But through an unbelievable turn of events. I called him regarding the pastor of Stone Church in Chicago that had asked us to come be the minister of music there, and we were praying about it. I knew he'd ministered in Chicago, so therefore I called him to ask him about the pastor there. And in so doing, that opened the door, and he called back the next day knowing we were praying about going to Stone Church in Chicago. And he said, and so I picked up the phone and said, "Hey, you got a word for me?" He said, "Yeah, I want you to come here to Bethany." Lord. Well, wait a minute. Now, I was having trouble going to Chicago, much less New England. And I was quiet. He said, "You didn't know this while you were talking to me yesterday, but we needed a music pastor." So he said, "Let me tell you about Bethany." And so he did. He said, "Now, I want you to pray about coming to Bethany, too, as you're praying about going to Chicago." And we prayed, and we felt, and there were two other churches. We were struggling with the fact that Marie's dad had cancer and was in his last days, and we were having to leave. But we felt like it was New England, although we had some apprehension. I don't know why we had apprehension about New England. Well, I do, but I'm not going to tell you. But the reality is we couldn't get it out of our spirit. And Pastor Cope called on that Monday after we were praying over the weekend. And I said, neither one of us can, we have apprehension, but we can't get Bethany out of our spirit in terms of ministry there. What do we do next? If that's the next step. He said, "I'm flying all four of you up here." So we all four flew up here, and we walk through those doors there, the holy hallway, for those of you who understand that. And as soon as I walked in, I sensed the presence of God. And I knew it was right. So I told Pastor Cope, who was asking for a 5-year commitment from us, I said, Marie, can we buckle down and endure 5 years at New England, can't we? She said, I think so. 27 years and 11 months later.
What have been, do you have a favorite memory of your time here at Bethel? You've been ministering.
You know, there's honestly, the magnitude of blessing. You know what I think? There's two things here. To be able to come onto this platform every Sunday and have you join in worship. I had 65 people back here singing their guts out, and great instrumentalists, but the congregation, you sang and you worshiped. And you know what? We have not arrived yet. And I say we because we have not arrived yet. We're still not where God wants us to be in worship. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, I think. I hope I get the chance. I'd like to share something. The reality is that was so much fun. Christmas was so much fun. Every Christmas. Something that wasn't musical, our MAPS trips, they were so much fun. And this was a fun place to be. It was just, there were a lot of things.
This is a related question, but what does Bethany mean to you?
You're my church. I'll share this, we may come back to a question later on, but when Marie passed away and we had a wonderful service here and then we had a visitation in Mobile and before she was buried in our plots there in Mobile. And some friends of mine came and said, well, it's time for you to come home. And I said, I can't. I've got to go back home because I have to heal. And the best place I can heal is with my church. And my two older sisters and my younger brother were all standing there, and they said, we know he has to do that because it's a phenomenal church. They knew. I mean, you don't stay this long. I don't care who you are. You don't stay this long unless it's an unbelievable church. So I had to come back, and I had to heal, and I had to draw from the choir especially because Marie was in the choir, and they were hurting in many respects just like I was. And as all of you were at the loss of Marie, she's otherworldly magnificent, but I was a basket case. And I said, Holy Spirit, you got to help me. And you were part of that process of help. And so you're my church. You're my church, and you'll always be my church.
Give us your definition of worship.
In a nutshell, it's just total reckless abandon to the fall of his feet. Worship is not all musical. Do you know that? You know, as a musician, you know, I'm thinking music, worship is all musical, but it's not. Worship is every moment that we live, every breath that we breathe, every understanding of God's grace and mercies to us. And we worship him and we honor him, not just with lip service, not just on one day of the week, but we honor him with our lives. Now, I'm not a man. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I'm not there yet, but I'm still working on it. But that's what Paul says, that we have to all work on it. We have to all work on it to die daily to us so that we can have more of him. It's a spirit of an attitude of worship. Worship is everything we are given to him. That's what worship is.
So before you came to Bethany, you were already a minister of music. You're already a worship pastor.
That's correct.
So what have you learned about worship in your time here?
Worship has changed. Worship has become more. Worship has always been personal. Okay, because your worship. You know, when you're in the car and you're worshiping the Lord, you're watching and praying. You got to watch where you're driving, but. or wherever you are, in your prayer closet. You know, that term we use, that special place, maybe at your house where you pray. The fact is, it's personal, but that personal worship has come into the liturgy of the church. And I've seen whereas you were the congregation and we were up here and this was just the way it was, there was you and us, it was all of us worshiping. And that, I grew up in the church. I was, for Paul, I don't know where Paul is. Paul, where are you? He's probably in the second service, but he remembers this. I had a drug problem when I was a kid. The rest of you understand. Anytime the church doors were open, I was drugged to church. This must be new to some of you. I'm third generation Assemblies of God, Pentecostal. I didn't get that by osmosis or by genetics. I got that from an example that my father and mother demonstrated before us. The point being is that I grew up in church, and all of a sudden worship just became an integral flow right into the Word of God. And it wasn't just we had to do all this preliminary stuff and then get to the preacher who preaches. All of a sudden worship became just that intimate personal thing on a corporate level. And that's what our worship is. We move in here and we worship, and all of a sudden we just lose sight of everything other than Him. I see that as the biggest difference. It just is a paradigm shift. We praise Him. We invite Him into our presence. And then all of a sudden it turns and He invites us into His. That's what worship's all about collectively. That I've seen the change.
You already said that worship is more than singing. It's what we do with our lives. But one of the things you've done here at Bethany is you've led in song. So why is it important that we sing in church?
I go back to the scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Why God made our vocal expression necessary for salvation? You understand that? You must confess with your mouth. I think that's still true. And you say, well, you're building other theology. No, I'm making that point. It's important for us to confess Jesus verbally with our own mouth. And I think it's just as important for us to sing. It's one thing to applaud Him, and we do. I mean, that's done out of worship. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's another thing to open your mouth and to make a joyful noise unto the Lord and honor Him with your voice.
You've been leading worship for many years.
Long time.
Before even coming here. And so you've obviously gone through different phases and different times in your own worship ministry. One of the phrases that I think we hear often is familiarity breeds contempt. And when you do the same thing over and over again, it can easily lead to, at worst, contempt, and at best, just complacency. So how over the years have you avoided allowing worship to become something that is merely ritual on Sunday morning and avoided complacency and kept passion in what you do?
Well, first, I've been doing this for a long time. I think I can answer that question from the psalmist. He says, sing unto the Lord a new song. And those of you in the 70s, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Yeah, okay. Well, it evidently wasn't a favorite song of anybody. And then I thought about that. That's interesting. God knows all things. You can't sing to Him a new song. He knows them all. You laugh. Think about that. He's omniscient. He knows all things. So I said, okay, what did you mean by that? I'm talking to the Bible, and this, what did you mean by that? I think in my estimation, it's that you come before God every opportunity you have, and you sing a brand new song from your heart. It may be a song you've sung a million times. It may be Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But you sing it fresh, a fresh expression of your heart to Him. I think that's what the psalmist was saying. Sing unto the Lord a new song, a fresh song of praise. And I think that's how you can sing old song that you sung. We don't sing old songs because they're old. We sing them because they're good. But then you can get a contemporary song, and it's a wonderful song, and then we start singing them, and then after 20 years you realize you've been singing a song for 20 years that you thought was, you know, brand new, but it's not. And it's a matter of the heart. You sing a fresh song of praise from your heart to Him. So worship doesn't get stale whether you sing something right off the press or written in the 1700s. It's a fresh expression of praise to you, and it doesn't get old because it's our fresh expression of praise unto Him. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Now, you're a minister of music, so we need you to help us here, because every week we get up and we... Maybe we put on our clothes, or maybe we stay in our pajamas these days. Who knows?
Yeah, where but, are they? Where? Yeah. You need to put on clothes at home before you watch church, okay? Business casual. You got to do that, okay? I was talking to the camera, okay? Just understand.
So we get up, we come, or we participate online week after week. But there, I think there has to be some maybe preparation in our hearts as well, so it doesn't become routine. So as a pastor to people, speaking from your pastoral heart, how should Christians prepare to worship the Lord on a Sunday morning?
Do I have permission to share what I think? I mean, I'm leaving.
Well, right. You have a lot of impunity right now, so have at it.
This would be obvious. This will be obvious. You said, how do you prepare for coming to church? You worship before you get here. Now, think with me for a little bit. Massachusetts calls these buildings houses of worship. They do. You know, I mean, they, and we understand Bethany's house of worship, that's the church on Main Street and 57, and it's a house of worship. No, it's where people who worship come to collectively worship. And that, you say, well, that's semantics. No, it's not. I think if there's anything that we need to get better at, is that we need to get better at worshiping before we even come into this building. As a pastor, that's my encouragement to you and to me. So many times I've walked in church and I just didn't feel like worshiping, and I was hoping the church was going to help me get to feel like worshiping. And that was wrong. That's theologically wrong, because my life is worship to Him. So if I could be pastoral, He gave me permission. If I could be pastoral, worship before you get here. And so when you do get here, our collective worship will just go places it's never been before. That makes sense? Thank you. I've made sense twice.
This is one you alluded to earlier and we talked about, but when Marie went to be with the Lord, how did worship sustain you through that season?
Marie passed away Wednesday, November 8th. Amanda, you knew it, you understood, you were there, called you a little after 2 o'clock in the morning, you buzzed over. Pastor Peter, you were there, where's Pastor Peter? Right there. You got over about 3:30 in the morning. And that was Wednesday, and it came around to Sunday. I'd already made the worship set prior to Wednesday. And I ran out on the platform, and I stood here, and I heard maybe a little ripple of people just talking. And I don't know if you were saying this, but I responded in how I thought you were saying, you know, why is Pastor Ken leading worship day? He doesn't need to do this. Marie just passed away. And so you might not have been thinking that, but the first thing I said was to you, some of you may be wondering why I'm up on the platform today. And my answer, for those of you here, I said, where else could I be but in the presence of Jesus in worship? You've heard me say this numerous times. Helen Limmel, for my understanding, this is the only hymn in our hymn book that she wrote. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The best place for you to be when you're hurting is worshiping, because it gets you out of your hurt and gets you into his presence. Doesn't mean it all goes away and we're like the proverbial ostrich with our head in the sand. It's not like that. It's just that our problems and our hurts do not take precedence over his power and authority in our lives. And we find that when we worship. And so that morning I was worshiping, leading you in worship, more for me than anybody else, because I needed to be here. And I asked the Holy Spirit, be my comforter, be my strength, and he has.
You already gave some pastoral encouragement, but I want to give you one more chance. That if there's something
All right.
else that wasn't addressed before, you know, like I said, you're leaving, you've got a little bit of impunity. So is there an exhortation regarding worship that maybe you would like to leave this congregation?
Okay, I'm going to set this up. By learning a long time ago that people may be worshiping even though they don't worship like me. I look out and I see people and they may not be very demonstrative. You know, they're holding up their hands is, you know, get those hands up, get them up, you know, surrender. No, the fact is, everybody worships differently, okay? And so that being said, I'm mindful of the fact that I don't judge people by the fact of if they're not worshiping like me, they must not be worshiping. Or if they're not singing, well, that bothers me, but they're worshiping, okay? That said, I think we just all need to be more vocal and demonstrative in how we praise the Lord. Now, some of you may not feel comfortable doing that in a public setting, but you can go home, you can lock yourself in the bathroom, and you can shout out to God with a voice of triumph, and you can praise him and exalt him, and it reverberates in the bathroom, and you're getting more excited, and then all of a sudden you open the door, you start running around the house. You're doing a Jericho march around the house because you're just rejoicing in the Lord. You're speaking it out. You're praising. You're exalting. I think we all need that. People don't realize I was a wallflower when I was growing up. Okay, this is, I guess, like Catholic confession, I guess. Yeah, And the Lord gave me a sense of something. I wouldn't call it boldness, but he gave me a sense of understanding. I can praise him. I can exalt him. And I've tried to demonstrate that in worship all my life. And people seem to think that it was Marie that brought me out of my shell. Well, possibly so. So I'm looking over at family over here. The fact is, I just think we need to be more demonstrative in our worship. Okay? Everybody, it's not that you're an A-type personality, but we can sing praise unto him. And again, I go back to this vocal thing. I think it's so vital that we just praise him with our lips. And I don't care if you can't sing your way out of a wet paper bag. I mean, the fact is, you know, you can't hold any kind of pitch. God doesn't care. He just wants to hear your voice. He just wants to hear you worshiping him. And that, it was really, it goes hand in glove with what I've already said. Open our mouth, worship him. exalt him.
Amen. Amen. What advice would you give a congregation who's getting a new worship minister?
Follow her lead. Most of you don't understand or don't know this, but Pastor Stephen had me in the process. I got to speak with Pastor Camilla Grace in January, I think, and we talked about, you're not going to have any problem with the winters in New England because you grew up in Siberia. Yeah, makes sense. You know, I said, hey, I like her already. She grew up in Siberia. Everything was fine until I found out she was an Auburn fan and I'm an Alabama fan, and those are the two main universities in Alabama. Okay, I had to do this Monday night for the music department. For those of you who don't know, when you're born in Alabama, when you get to the age of accountability, you have to decide whether you're going to follow Jesus or not, and whether you're an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan. You cannot be both. It is a staunch rivalry, and her family is Auburn War Eagle. So she was an Auburn War Eagle, and I'm an Alabama Roll Tide. So thank you. Thank you. I heard that Roll Tide over there. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't anybody say War Eagle, okay? Until after I leave, and then you can, okay? I know her heart. Pastor alluded to that. I know her gifting. I know her spirit. We've had a chance to be together almost 2 weeks now. And then we're, this is a wonderful opportunity for me to be able to literally pass the baton. You know, we led worship together this morning. I'm excited. I told Pastor Stephen and said, if you had hired Mickey Mouse to be the next worship pastor, I would have left, but I wouldn't have been happy. And I said, I am delighted because I have been in this process. It was, you know, it was your decision. It was your hire, and to bring on staff the person you felt like would be it. I concurred completely until I found out you were for Auburn. And that tainted me somewhat, slightly. I'm sorry. I'm kidding about that. I think. Follow her lead. She's going to come up here and lead worship for the same group of people that I've led worship for. And you worship. So don't stop. Follow her lead. She's gonna go fall at the feet of Jesus and worship. So you just follow her and go fall at the feet of Jesus and worship with her. Wonderful spirit, gifted. Can't wait for choir to start so she can direct the choir. And I'm gonna give away one of the secrets. As soon as choir comes back, they're gonna be singing in both morning services. I'm sorry. Could I do that? Well, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't do it. I just told them, but nobody knows. Wow, I went off on a roll of rabbit trail there. Sorry. Just follow her. Follow her like you followed me. Follow her.
Amen. Well, in that spirit, Pastor Camilla Grace, we're going to have you come up, and we're going to just pray, and I'm going to let Pastor Ken pray for you. Congregation, would you stand and we're going to pray. I'm going to let Pastor Ken pray for Pastor Camilla Grace, and then we're going to pray for Pastor Ken as he goes. Just pray a blessing on his life. Pastor Ken.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Camilla Grace and the gifting that you placed in her life, all the things that as she was growing up, she wanted to sing, she wanted to praise you with her voice. Lord, I thank you for the training. I thank you for all of the things that have brought her to this point, all of the necessary items to direct the choir, to lead worship, to administrate, to write arrangements, and do notation software, all of the things that really fit in so well in this church. And I thank you, but I thank you most of all for her heart. I thank you, Lord, I thank you for her parents who trained her, who just spoke into her life as she was growing up and there in Siberia for those numerous years. And I just pray, Lord, now that as that fruit is now beginning to be used, that that you would use her in a great and mighty way. We just pray that she'll last more than the 5 years, just like we lasted more than the 5 years. Lord, may she stay here until you come. We just thank you when you come for your church. She's still the worship pastor here, and I thank you for her gifting. Lord, I thank you that there's a receptivity about this church family. Lord, I just ask that they just receive her with welcome arms, because I know she is delighted to be here to sing your praise and to lead this body. Would you bless her with every good and perfect blessing? Touch her life in ways unimaginable. Lord, there may not be perfect days yet ahead, but we serve a perfect God. And we serve a God whose mercies are new every morning, and your grace is more than enough in the good times and even more than enough in the tough times. So would you bless her in ways beyond our understanding? Thank you, Lord, for her gifting. Thank you for her heart. May that be just exemplified and demonstrated every Sunday, every time that there's a service in here. Yes. And we give you praise for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're gonna miss you. I know that this is true for all of you, for many of you. And so I can't express it for you personally, but I'll express it personally myself on everyone's behalf. We're going to miss you. I'm going to miss you. My family's going to miss you. You and Marie were like grandparents to my kids. You're loved, and we're going to miss you. We wanted to get you a boat, but it wouldn't fit through the front doors. So we got you a card instead. So no. We didn't just get him a card. I want you to know that the board and myself, on behalf of the congregation, have blessed Pastor Ken as he's going, and just wanted to express our love to him.
I can get a boat.
Would you reach out your hand? Let's pray and bless Pastor Ken. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for a life lived well. Lord, for the work of the ministry in the midst of your people here in Agawam for the past 28 years, God, we grant you praise and glory. We thank you that Pastor Ken has been not only a wonderful music minister, but he's been a minister in many, many ways to us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for his leadership. We thank you for his family. Lord, we thank you for his life here, his example. Lord, we do thank you for that, because he's lived a life of godliness before this congregation, which is invaluable. We ask, Lord, that his legacy would last long. We pray for your grace to be showered on him as he moves to Alabama. We thank you that you've already opened wide the doors for him, and ask that you would continue to just fill him with your blessing and with your grace. Direct his every step as he continues to walk with you. Lord, we pray that in surprising ways you'd continue to bless him, and you'd continue to use him, God, for your glory, providing him with many, many opportunities to just be a blessing wherever you put him, wherever you send him, here as he has been here, even as he goes to Alabama. Lord, we thank you for that. May you just fill his heart with grace, with joy, and with gratitude to you as he goes. Lord, we love you. We thank you for that. And we entrust him to your care. In Jesus' name we pray and we believe. Amen. I love you. You can remain standing if you like. We're gonna go in just a minute. Pastor Ken is gonna make his escape out front so that you can greet him there, and we don't swarm him here because we're not supposed to do that. So he's gonna be outside, so you can he'll greet you there. And the ushers are gonna come down the aisles as they have been doing, and they're gonna let you go row by row so that we don't have a pile up in the aisles or in the lobby. Before you go though, can I pray a prayer for you? With this morning service has been just a little different. But can I just pray for you and ask for God's blessing in your life? Heavenly Father, today we've heard not only memories, but Lord, we've heard exhortation. And we ask, Father, that you would let that be applied into our lives. Lord, I pray that we would be people who worship and are prepared to worship you when we get here, so that our praise together might overflow. We pray, Lord, that we would have that heart of worship that Pastor Ken talked about, that is singing a new song of praise to you all the time. Lord, we ask especially during these trying moments, I pray for your blessing on this congregation, that as others are experiencing anxiety and fear and worry, and they're trying to figure out what life means and what it's going to look like and all the stuff that goes with the present circumstances, Father, I pray for your blessing on each heart, that as we praise you, that our eyes would be fixed on Jesus, so there would be a living hope that people could see in us, that the Prince of Peace would have his way in our hearts as we look to you, so that people can see the peace of Christ resting on us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give blessing in difficult circumstances so that people will give glory to God, and that even in moments where it just doesn't seem like there's any more good to come of something, Lord, that even as that man who was thrown on the bones of Elisha was raised up, that in our lives that we will have been so closely tied to you that people would say the Lord did that, and they will see his work even in moments that look tragic to us, like the ones that are currently taking place. We love you. We thank you for that. And we entrust this week to you, asking for your great blessing and your leadership for our lives in it. It's in Jesus' name we pray and we believe. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We love you. We'll see you again on Wednesday for our prayer meeting. Until then, go in God's grace and peace.